Well, thank you, gentlemen, for getting it back together here. And hello, everyone. How are you this afternoon? Doing well? Certainly want to thank Mr. Sexton and the choir for a job well done, and also David and Jonathan. Wasn't that beautiful? Their duet they did together, so we always appreciate the special music. Adds a lot to services. My wife and I are sorry we're going to miss all the fun that you're going to be having this evening, those of you that are going to stay. But as he mentioned, unfortunately, there's a marriage seminar tomorrow in the Portland area, and Leanne and I are part of it. And we have to leave about 5 o'clock from here and drive down and meet Bob and Diane Dick and discuss our presentations tomorrow and coordinate our efforts at the marriage seminar, which begins in the morning. I think a few of you may be coming down for that. If you are, we'll see you there in the morning at the marriage seminar. But we won't be able to stay for the activities because of needing to get on down the road. I agree with Mr. Sexton, though, it's a bad Sunday for a marriage seminar. It is likely that it'll only be the wives that show up, at least for the afternoon portion, starting about 3:30. You all know what that's going to be, don't you? It is possible that the Seahawks may beat the Carolina Panthers tomorrow afternoon. I think the predictions are they might by a few points. And if they do, that city will go wild, right? Because that means the Seahawks go to the Super Bowl, I think a couple of weeks later back in Detroit, Michigan. So I'm going to miss the game tomorrow afternoon. Leanne and I will be in a marriage seminar, and we pray that it will be worth it, and I'm sure it will be. Hey, I'm human too. I actually forgot about the marriage seminar, and I was talking to LG, our daughter and Leah's husband, LG and Leah, and I was saying, LG, would it be okay if I came over on Sunday to watch the game? He's got a big screen TV, and I've got a little TV. And he said, well, aren't you supposed to be in Portland on Sunday? And I said, oh no, I forgot. He did have to remind me, didn't he? So, no, I had it written down, but I just forgot, thinking about the Seahawks. I do enjoy football because I played 8 years of it, 4 years in high school, and 4 years in college at the University of Delaware. I'm supposed to close at 4 o'clock. I'll do my best to make it within 5 minutes either way. You know, Mr. Sexton set the stage for my message as well with his, and I'd like to ask all of you, if that end time, 1968, comes in our lifetime, will you be ready? Will you be strong? Will you stand up for God? And will you let your light shine? Will you be an example? Will you be there helping others who are frightened and falling apart? And that final end time, 1968, which will be much worse than what he was describing. I'd like to take a look today at some very positive prophecies about God's people, about some of you possibly. The scriptures that I'm going to be reading actually literally could be talking about you. If we live to see the end of this age and the way things are going in the world, it's always possible. We don't know. But it is possible because we do see end time prophecies being fulfilled. The king of the south, could it be the president of Iran that he was describing? You know, he feels he has this mission from their Messiah to wipe Israel off the face of the map. You probably remember him making that statement. It was in the news, front page headlines. And now he's defying the United Nations to continue developing, which he says, nuclear power for peaceful purposes. What a joke. Everyone knows what his desire is. And so we see that developing. We know that the King of the North in Europe is coming to pass. Europe is coming together, continuing now to rival the United States and hoping to surpass us. I think we all know the story of Boeing and Airbus, don't we? That picture is the United States and the United States of Europe. And what's happening is that Airbus, first Boeing thought they were ahead, and then at the end Airbus got a few extra deals, and then they came ahead in sales of airplanes. So we know what's going on in the world. We know it's happening. We know it's in our time. I'm only 68 years old. I'm in good health. I could live to see the end of this age and the return of Jesus Christ. It is possible, but only God knows. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at scriptures that talk about God's people at that time. It's very interesting. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 12. Scriptures that talk about that day, the end time, and what God's people will be doing and what they will be like. God gives us plenty of preparation, plenty of time to prepare for these times. Daniel chapter 12. We're going to first of all read verse 4 of Daniel 12. And then we'll drop down to verse 9. But verse 4 of Daniel 12, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and sealed the book until the time of the end." In other words, what God was inspiring him to write. "Shut it up and seal it till the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." We're certainly living in that time, aren't we? Where knowledge is doubling every few years because of computers and the sharing of knowledge worldwide. Drop down to verse 9 and 10. "And he said, go your way, Daniel." This the angel speaking to Daniel. "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified at the time of the end." Now we're speaking of that end time, 1968, to come. "Many shall be purified." I wonder if this is going on in the church even now. "Many will be made white." That means be made righteous, doesn't it, at that time. "And many will be refined." So there are many trials and tests that are going to purify, make righteous, and refine God's people. But at the same time, God tells us the wicked shall do wickedly. So there will be God's people in the world, those who understand God's plan and the truth, what's coming. And as we see around us, as you watch news, as you see the new movies coming out that get great awards. What is the new cowboy movie out? That's getting Brokeback Mountain. Yeah, thank you. We see all of this going on. I haven't seen it, but I've read a lot about it, and I know what it's about. But we're going to see wickedness get worse all around us. And it's hard to bear. It's hard for me to watch it happening, even though I know it's got to happen. It's hard to watch it happening. And it says, "None of the wicked shall understand." So people who are busy living in sin, disobeying God, will not understand what's coming. "But the wise shall understand." So my question to you sitting here today, and to me, are we the wise? How do we know? God tells us, and we're going to look at many other prophecies about God's people. God says in the very end time, just before Christ is coming, there will be those whom God calls wise. They are wise people. Now, what does it mean? Hold your place there, and we'll come back. But in Psalm 111, I want to read what it means to be wise. Just a couple of things to be reminded of here. Psalm 111, verse 10. Here's what God's Word tells us. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So how many of us sitting here today do we fear God? And that doesn't mean be afraid of him, that he's going to punish us, he's against us. It means to fear God because he is righteous. He expects us to be, with his help, his spirit, overcomers and growers. And he's going to require of us some things. So fearing God doesn't mean being afraid of him as somebody who's against you, but knowing that he is righteous and will keep his word. It means to stand in awe of and to respect God and to love God. It begins with respecting Him, having a fear of Him. And it adds here in verse 10, a good understanding have all those that do His commandments. So those who have wisdom are those who do fear and respect God and keep His commandments. Now just turn over real quickly to Psalm 119. We're looking here at the end time, there will be people of wisdom. And Psalm 119, notice what David says in verses 97 through 99. Three verses here, 97 through 99. Remember this one. Oh, David says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, and we as God's people, if we're wise, do we, during the day, whatever we're doing, even at work, whatever we're in, we stop and we think about God and His law and His way of life. And notice what David adds. You, referring to God, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. And so obedience to God's laws and commandments makes us wise people because we're living in harmony with God. Notice verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. And so back to Daniel 12, you see, there are wise people at the very end of the age, people who fear God and keep His commandments. That's what it means to be wise. Are we going to be those people? I believe we are, and I believe many of you will be. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, and we know Christ spoke of this in Matthew 24, giving us a warning. And here Daniel said that from the time the abomination of desolation is set up, and Christ said it would be set up in Jerusalem, in the holy place, a temple area to be reestablished, something called an abomination, probably the setting up of a pagan altar, is going to happen in the end time. We know what to be looking for. We know it's going to come to pass. And it says there shall be 1,290 days. And these days, and you all probably have studied this many times in the past, but these days referred to here end at the return of Jesus Christ. And so the 1,290 days is 30 days before the Great Tribulation begins. Again, we know the scriptures make it clear. You can go back in Revelation. I don't have time to do that. But back in the Revelation chapter 11, it shows clearly 1,260 days, 42 months, Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles. The Great Tribulation will begin on this earth. That means the destruction of end-time Israel during that period of time. Something's going to happen 30 days prior to that. Could that be when the abomination of desolation is set up? Verse 12 says, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days, 1,335 days prior to the return of Jesus Christ. That's 45 days prior to the 30 days. So what happens 45 days prior to the setting up of the abomination of desolation? Well, we're watching and waiting, aren't we? We have speculated, and that's all it is at this point, is that that could be when the public preaching of the gospel is absolutely cut off and stopped in our nations and in the Israelite nations and around the world. Verse 13 says, but go your way, speaking to Daniel, till the end, for you shall rest, that is, in your grave, and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days when Christ returns. The wise shall understand, because we will be watching, we know what to look for, and God will give understanding. God is the giver of understanding. And so my point in this is, the scriptures are very positive about the fact that at the time of the end, that final 1968 period that is going to come, there will be people of God who are wise. That's what the Bible tells us. Now that's encouraging, isn't it? It encourages me. I would like to be one of those wise. That maybe, you know, my father recently died. He was 88 years old, and he smoked and he drank. My father smoked and drank heavily for about 50 years and lived to be 88 years old. I don't drink heavily, and I don't smoke. So maybe I'll live to 98 or 108, I don't know. So I'm saying it is possible, brethren, that you and I and many of us here could literally, actually, as Mr. Sexton said, we don't know, only God knows, but we certainly can see the signs in the world around us and what's going on. We know it could happen in our lifetime. Let's go on and take a look at Revelation 11, a couple of other parts there. Revelation chapter 11. Regardless of what comes, we can be encouraged and we can be positive because we're going to see the power of God is going to be unleashed upon God's people in the end time. When Satan begins to attack, God is going to pour out the power of His Holy Spirit in unusual ways. And here in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 11, He says, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. There it is. Same thing spoken of by Daniel. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And so it is possible that these two people could be alive today, that God is preparing them and will pour out His power upon them in special ways. Two witnesses. The two witnesses given incredible power by God. Notice in verse 5, if anyone wants to harm them, you know, tries to kill them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. What does that mean? Literal fire? Or is it just that they have the power to curse them and they're dead? And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. So God gives these two human beings, two of his servants, incredible spiritual power. And these have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Now that is power. I don't know who the two witnesses are, but I have in my 46 years in God's church, I've met a few who've called themselves witnesses. Have any of you ever run into somebody who thought they were one of the two witnesses? It happens a lot, unfortunately. But God will choose two that are truly humble, probably don't expect this to happen to them, and yet are filled with tremendous faith and trust in God, and could have the temperament and personality to do something like this, and God alone knows who it could be. But my point is here that at the end time, God is pouring out power upon His people. Turn back to Acts chapter 2, and let's look at, it won't be upon the two witnesses only that great power is poured upon. Acts chapter 2, let's read verses 17 through 20. Acts chapter 2. Now, if you God gives you that incredible experience. You know, what an experience it would be if, have you ever thought of it? And I'm sure you have. What if you do live to see the return of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of some of these end time events? What an incredible, scary, frightening thing in many ways. And yet on the other hand, as one of these wise people that God talks about in the end time, who fears God and is obeying God, you also know, you're going to know all these other prophecies where you're going to begin to see at that same time, God Almighty pours out incredible power. Let's read this. Verse 17, Acts 2. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And that means upon His people, as we'll see. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. So God is going to work again like He did in the Old Testament times and in New Testament times, you know, giving special understanding to some of His people. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, women, you too. God is going to pour out His Spirit upon you. You know, there were prophetesses in the New Testament. God used women in special ways as well. Notice verse 19. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. When? Before the coming of the great and notable day of the Lord. And so again, my point is, for those of us living in this end time age, and certainly we're living in that age, not knowing exactly when it will culminate, but the point is that tremendous power and inspiration and visions and revelation is going to be given to many of God's people at that time, young and old, men and women. It's going to be exciting when that begins to happen, isn't it? And it will happen when it's a need in the church. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, back there again. Revelation chapter 3. Verses 8 through 11. We know these verses well. Verses directed specifically to what is called the Philadelphia church, that message to the Philadelphians. He says to them, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. That always meant for doing the work, preaching the gospel. And no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. These have never been a mighty people, a big people, a great church. They're small. But you have a little strength. You have kept my word. And here's what's characteristic of them. You know, they believe in doing a work, always trying to find that open door and go through it. They have little strength. They have kept God's word and have not denied his name, his authority, and his power. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, that just means the false church, who say they are Jews or Christians and are not, but they lie, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. That eventually will happen, eventually. But notice verse 10, again speaking to these people at the end time, at the coming of Christ, because you have kept my command to persevere. I'm reading from the New King James. The NIV is good, because you have kept my endured patiently, my command to endure patiently. And isn't a lot of that required, especially as we do have health problems or get older physically? It gets a little harder sometimes to endure the flesh, the weakness of the flesh, and the what's going on around us. Enduring is not going to be easy. But Jesus Christ himself says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. And so here is a wonderful promise to some of God's people. That's encouraging. Some of God's people. Jesus Christ says, I will keep you and preserve you and protect you at that time. It is going to happen. Now, we all would like that, but it isn't something we set our hearts on, is it? The two witnesses, they're going to be killed. They're going to be allowed to be killed for 3 days, 3.5 days, and then God resurrects them. And God may allow some who are strong enough to be martyrs at the end time. Well, many of God's people have been martyrs. But on the other hand, I believe that the majority of God's righteous people, faithful people, who kept their hearts in trying to reach out to the world, who kept their hearts in trying to help others know the truth of God, that there's a special blessing and protection and help for them. And in verse 11, Jesus says, I come quickly. And when it happens and it begins to happen, it's going to seem very fast. Right now, it just seems to always be something in the future, doesn't it? Someday, this is going to happen someday. But how quickly life goes. And when it comes, it will come quickly, not only happen fast, but how quickly our lives, it seems, will have passed. Hold fast what you have. Let no man take your crown. Let no one take that crown that is waiting of rulership with Jesus Christ. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't let anyone discourage you. Very positive verses, aren't there, about God's people in the end time. Very encouraging. Let's Go on to chapter 12 in Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But then he goes on. Sure, in the heavens they can rejoice, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. So Satan knows the plan of God. He doesn't know the exact time of everything, but he does know God's plan. And he knows when Christ returns, he's going to be cast in the dungeon, in a place of restriction and bondage for 1,000 years, not be allowed to do his work. He knows that his time is running out. And that was verse 13 now. And when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, this is speaking of the end time casting down of Satan the devil, a repeat of what happened has already happened once when he rebelled against God. It says he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. And not only referring to when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land, but these prophecies and scriptures make it clear this is going to happen again at the end time, and that you and I could be involved in this very easily in our lifetime. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle. No, we can't necessarily say it'll be the new 787 that Boeing is developing. We don't know how this could happen, but it'll be miraculous. That she, that is the church, might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time. That's 3.5 years during the time of the great tribulation from the presence of the serpent. What a blessing it will be, brethren, for those alive, for the wise, who've remained faithful, who've persevered, who've endured. And God Almighty in heaven says, I'm taking you to that place that I have prepared and protecting you and your family during this horrible period that is going to come upon America and England and Canada and Australia and New Zealand and upon South Africa and the other Israelitish nations of God's people, as he humbles them and brings them down. But the positive part of this is that here at the end time, God intervenes and spares and saves many of God's people. Now, I'm not going to go on and read where it says, so the devil goes back enraged and attacks the remnant of God's people. So the way we've always understood this is, and I think it very easily could be accurate, it says they have the testimony of Jesus Christ and the commandments of Jesus Christ, the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. But it's those who have that and know that, but have become lukewarm. And I think one of the greatest challenges that we all have as the years roll on and we all just get older in the faith and in the church, at least I feel in my life, the greatest challenge is not to drift into just being lukewarm about it. How do you feel? What is your challenge? And that is to maintain a spiritual life and to be alive for God. That's a great challenge. It's not easy. And so many will be protected and blessed by God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. So we're looking at end time prophecies showing the wonderful, positive things that God says are going to be happening to many of God's people. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, for then will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world, even worse than the times that Rex Sexton was describing, and he was just hitting the top of the pyramid, so to speak, of awful, horrible, incredible, sickening, disgusting times. And yet Jesus tells us that the dictators that are coming in the end time, that are going to be ruling the world, are going to be worse than any that have ever existed. And probably because of the mass destruction of so many other peoples, even more will be killed. There will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And then the wonderful verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Just think about that, brethren. What Christ is telling us is there will be an elect right at the very end of the age. There will be those people of God that God has called, who have remained faithful to him. They're considered by God to be the elect of God. Love him, serve him, obey him, have endured and persevered, and have not given up and quit, and have not allowed themselves to become lukewarm. Or, let's put it this way, I think we all become lukewarm at different times in our lives and have ups and downs. But the important thing is to not stay that way. Because when I'm lukewarm, I know it. I can tell it. I can feel it. And I know what I have to do about it. And so Christ said, there will be an elect in those end time days. And notice verses 12 through 14 of this chapter, 12 through 14. And because lawlessness will abound, and that's what's happening around us everywhere. Disobedience, anything goes. Go through the news. And the other day, just for a few minutes, I was on, I forget even what channel it was, watching news. And it had on the news, it was this young man who's good on the computer, and he believes that anyone of any age, children in other words, anyone at any age should have total free access to anything that is on the internet, including pornography, which is pornography is many things, and it gets into shameful things that should not be spoken of that are disgusting and sickening. But he is working to develop programs that get around any blocks that parents can put on the internet or that government can put on. He's going to bypass all that and make it possible because he believes the Constitution says that everyone should have any freedom, including children, to experiment and make their own choices sexually and every other way. So where we're going, you know. Who knows how bad it's going to get before it's all over. So we're seeing lawlessness will abound, get worse and worse. And as that happens, the love of many will grow cold. We know that is prophesied. But verse 13 says, again, Jesus comes back and says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. And so there are those who endure to the end and who stand firm. I like the NIV here, where the NIV says that because lawlessness will abound, the love of most will wax cold. And looking at the church of God in general, that's what's happened. At one point, we were about 150,000 members worldwide. And today, what are we? 10, 15% of that maybe worldwide, churches of God, those who remain faithful to God. Only God knows that figure for sure. But the NIV again says, but he who stands firm, or it says he who endures or stands firm will be saved. And there will be many who will endure. It's very positive. And all we have to do, brethren, is be determined. Be determined that it will be one of us to the very end. To save a little bit of time, I will refer to but not read Matthew 25. Remember, we all know again well where Jesus talks about the 10 virgins representing the church. And he says 5 of them are wise and 5 are foolish. I want to bring your attention under the point that Jesus Christ emphatically says 5 were wise. So Jesus speaks of his church at the end time. All the church went to sleep for a while, but he said the 5 that were wise awakened and prepared themselves, and they were ready when Christ came. And so again, Bible prophecy tells us that spoken by Jesus Christ, that many of God's people will awaken from sleep and be fired up again. Maybe having a little more of that zeal that we once had in the church, when we were young and new in the church and newer in the truth, we get somehow, with God's help, fired up again, not to just kind of fade out as lukewarm Christians, but fired up again at the end time, knowing that we're living in that age and that we have a job to do, a work to do. And I like to think about it in saving as many other lives as we can, saving as many other people as we can. You all probably know that I'm in the church today not because I saw it on television or heard it the radio. I'm in the church today because a church member who was a member of the Radio Church of God, that's what it was called when I came into it, was a member of the Radio Church of God, happened to be working as an engineer alongside me. And so that member's life is what impacted my life, and that's how God called me into his church, through another member of the church. And so our lives can and do make a big difference. If our light and our example and our faithfulness could save the life of one other person, or two, or three, or a family, or a neighbor, or a friend, or a coworker. In this case, I was a coworker of the church member. It's worth it, isn't it? That we could make a difference in saving the life of a few other people, or a few other families, a few other individuals. And Christ says that's going to happen. There will be a church, and it will be alive, and it will be doing a work at the end time when Christ comes. And God is going to pour out his Spirit of power upon those people. Let's close by going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 4. Similar to the way Mr. Sexton ended. You know, Paul's writings are really interesting. And it is, as he pointed out in 1 Thessalonians, when he wrote this, at this time in his life, he did believe that Christ was going to return in his lifetime. Before he died, by the time he wrote 2 Timothy, he understood that he was going to die and that there would be a crown, you know, waiting for him, and not for him only, but for others. But let's see what he wrote here, 1 Thessalonians 5. And we're going to read verses 4 through 11. But you, brethren, and so I read this to you, brethren, today, now, as inspired by God. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day, you know, 1968, in the future, whatever year it may be, that it should overtake you as a thief. But you are all sons of light. Isn't that interesting? How positive Paul is to these people of God. How positive we should be. We are children of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, speaking spiritually, let us not sleep spiritually as others do. And so we know, don't we? You know, there are still people out there who are hurt from the past, and still living a life motivated by their anger toward somebody. Sometimes that anger is even toward God. And as long as your life is motivated by anger, you're not going to move forward. I'm not. Anybody, you're not. We've got to be motivated by the love of God. You're all sons of light, sons of the day, not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And notice verse 9, how encouraging and positive Paul is. For God did not appoint us to wrath. And a lot of people say, well, I just, if I live through the end time days, I probably will just suffer a lot, maybe go into the tribulation. I've heard people say that. I probably don't deserve to be protected and spared. And yet, God doesn't want that. God did not appoint us to wrath. He didn't call us to have to suffer the horrors of the end time great tribulation. That's a choice. It's a choice people make. If that's me going through that, it's a choice that I made. Somewhere along the line, I said to myself, it's too hard and it isn't worth putting forth the effort to be one of these wise people, or to be one of these zealous people, or to be one of these loving people. I decided that I would just take the easy route. See, it's a choice in my life as well as yours. It's a choice. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake, that means whether we live or whether we sleep, whether we die, we should live together with him. So none of us knows whether we will live to see this end time, 1968, another year that, say, tears the world apart, and yet maybe would lead to the real end of the age coming. We don't know for sure, but it could happen. And notice how he ends just this section here that I will be closing with. Therefore, in other words, considering all of these things, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So this is what we need to be doing, brethren. We need to be, when we are dealing with someone, let's say is negative, discouraged, down on themselves, having a lot of problems in their lives, and because of that maybe are negative and discouraged, we need to remember that in all the prophecies of the Bible, and I've only touched a few, certainly you find that negative part about some aren't going to be ready. But look on the positive, and you'll always find, God says, some will be strong. There is one final scripture, and turn with me to Daniel chapter 11. This is the final scripture that I want you to read with me. Daniel chapter 11, where we began, and we'll read verses 31 through 35 in closing. Daniel 11, and I would like to read Daniel 11, verses 31 through 35 in the Amplified Bible. You may have it. It just uses more words, more English words to help us understand the Hebrew, or in the New Testament, it adds other English words to help us better understand the original Greek. So I'll read Daniel 11, 31 through 35 in closing. And armed forces of his, this is referring to the end time king of the north, armed forces of his shall appear in the Holy Land, and they shall pollute the sanctuary, the spiritual stronghold. So that's talking about that end time temple, isn't it? And they shall take away the continual daily burnt offering, shows that they will be reinstituted and going on at that time. And they shall set up in the sanctuary the abomination that astonishes and makes desolate. And they have a comment at the bottom. This is probably an altar to a pagan god, paralleling the Antiochus Epiphanes when he set up a pagan altar and sacrificed swine on the altar of God. Going on to verse 32. And such as violate the covenant, he shall pervert and seduce with flatteries. It's talking about politics and what will be going on at that time. But notice this incredible verse, this part of verse 32. But the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm and do great exploits for God. That's what it says here in the Amplified Bible. The people who know their God. If you want to know what it means to know God, I won't turn there, but just remember 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, for here is how you know that you know. The Bible tells us how you know that you know. And so what is prophesied at the time of the end is that the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm and do great exploits for God. And it's at that time that some of understanding shall fall, verse 35, but it will refine them and purge them and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. So, brethren, let us be encouraged. God does give us understanding, and we are watching, and we're striving to prepare. We're striving to do God's work. Now, you know that it is our desire, as united, as a part of the Church of God that is out there, and the people of God united, we want to do a work. We want to be zealous. So let us be enthusiastic, brethren, for God, and thank God for all these positive promises that are written in the end time.